Blog Talk Radio.
The following has taken place during Total Sports Live.
Dean Belandio on an official's overturn.
And here's the official reading of what he said. I'm pulling it up right now. It says, on the official overturn of Dez Bryant's catch on 4th and 2 after review. This is very similar to the Calvin Johnson play, as you referenced, where Dez is going up, is going to the ground to make the catch. And the rule is pretty clear that when you go to the ground to make the catch, you have to hold on to it through its entire process. When Dez hits the ground with his left arm, the ball hits the ground. It pops loose into the air, and that is part of the catch process that makes it an incomplete pass. And I agree with that. And then it says whether or not Dez Bryant reaching for the goal line could have been considered a football act. Yeah, absolutely. We looked at the aspect of it in order for it to be a football move. It's got to be more obvious than that. Reaching the ball out with both hands, extending it for the goal line, this is all in part of our view. All part of his momentum going to the ground, and he lost the ball when he hit the ground. That is our view and made it incomplete, and we feel like it's a consistent application of the rule and it has been written over the last couple of years. If you don't know, Dean Belandio is the vice president of NFL officiating. So pretty much that's pretty clean cut. And Dez obviously went on Twitter after the game, a few hours after the game.
Of course
he
did. He had nothing to say to the reporters afterwards, and this is what I love. They got him in the locker room, and he had his towel over his head doing his best Curt Shelley impression, and he couldn't say anything to the reporters. And he had his towel over his head when he walked off the field, and he's such a whiny, whiny, whiny little baby. I can't stand it. Like, you're supposed to be a professional, and the call came didn't come up on your side, but there have been other athletes in the same sport as you that have had far worse calls that weren't called or whatever, and they still handle it with better poise in the locker room. You are a whiny, whiny little profanities aside. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, he's just, of course, he didn't have anything to say to the reporters afterwards. He just said, yeah, well, that's how it goes. And then he goes on Twitter and then he blasts everything. Like, I get gross and stones. Like, at least, like, say it to the media. Like, don't go on your freaking smartphone and then blast them that way. You have something to say. Like, say when you have the microphone jammed in your face. You know, you have
ego
and you like to talk a lot. Back it up.
Right. No, you're definitely right about that. As he said on Twitter, if you guys haven't seen it, he said that I went to the ground, I rolled over, and I tipped the ball to gain better control. We lost, and I accept that. But please change the rule. I have nothing wrong with what he said. If he had said that during his press conference, that would have been fine. But the problem is that I have after it is when he said, but please change that rule. He wants the rule changed because of what happened to him.
That's hilarious. That's like, you know, that's like me saying as a 13-year-old kid in softball, I don't like the fact that the girl can ram me as the catcher. Change the rule for me. Like, come on, man. You're not the only one that rule is affected. So, I mean, I'd be crying, too, if I blew the biggest catch in my career. Best believe that. But to say, please change the rule, come on. Who do you think you are?
No, you're right. You're right about that. And what you got any more general thoughts about this game? I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, the guy played on a torn calf muscle. He's still balling out.
I don't know
out.
What the hell they shot his calf up with at halftime, but whatever it was, it works.
Yeah, he balled out. Randall Cobb had a solid game, and the rookie wide receiver from Fresno State, Davante Adams, had a hell of a game. The Cowboys were so worried about Jordy Nelson that Davante Adams just totally just destroyed the Cowboys secondary, and we finally saw the problem that defense has, and it was aware today that what we've been talking about this whole entire season, that defense, the bad play that it had finally reared its ugly head.
How about last night's game, though? How about Cam Chancellor jumping twice over the line to block the field goal?
Oh yeah, that was ridiculous. That was ridiculous. And talking about that game real quick before we jump to the Sixers, that game was interesting. And the fact of that, I knew in my mind that was going to be a close game just because Seattle and Carolina, even though Carolina doesn't have the best of offense, their defense is the truth. Their defense is legit. I would want to take a couple of their defensive players and put them on the Eagles for real, and put them in our.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Especially some of their linebackers I want to put in our linebacking group. But I said this game was going to be close. But Seattle, somehow, some way, with their anemic offense, let's keep it the truth, with their anemic offense, they get the job done. And you just thought Cam almost won the game, almost brought them back. But once he threw that pick six to Cam Chancellor, that totally just killed the Panthers' chances.
It was so awesome because once he started busting that run, like, he was, like, 10 to 15 yards away from where he intercepted it, and, like, he flipped back, like, oh, no one's chasing me. And he just jogged to the end zone. Like, you could see it in, like, the pan, like, when they panned around, like, all the Carolina Panthers players were like, oh, we're not catching him. And everyone just kind of gave up on him. It was hilarious.
Yeah, everybody was just like, you know what, it's all right, you know, we're just demoralized.
Yeah, let him go. Let him go 90 yards. We're not catching him.
All right.
Turned around and looked behind his shoulder like five times. Like, is this serious? Like, no one's chasing me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just like, all right, guys, we got as far as we could. That's all right. We'll take the loss on our chin. And Carolina for real, they did not play bad. I mean, this season they finished season 7-8-1 in the worst division in football, but they made the playoffs, and you know. They just got to get Cam some more weapons. And I've been saying this for the past couple of years. Get this man some more weapons. I mean, give him some wide receivers. You don't do him no good when you bring in free agents like Jericho Kotrick, Tyquan Underwood, and Jason Avant. That's not going to get the job done at all. But, Angela, any more playoff thoughts that you have before we move on to talk about our 76ers?
Who do you think your Super Bowl match is?
Ooh. Oh, this is hard. Oh, man. If Aaron Rodgers are healthy, then I would say Packers over Seahawks. But right now, the way Seattle's playing right now, it's kind of scary to see what they're doing right now, especially in CenturyLink Field. But I don't know about the NFC, but the AFC, I'm feeling something with Andrew Luck. I don't know what it is, but Andrew Luck is starting to turn it on at the right time and starting to be that guy for his franchise right now, beating Peyton Manning today. And that defense proved a lot to me today, making Peyton Manning and that entire offense looking unreal. So I think in the AFC, Indianapolis is coming out. I truly believe that. For some reason, I truly believe it. Because this Indianapolis Colts defense right now is just playing out of this world. For a defense that has been having problems this entire season, not getting stops, they're getting stops in today's game and showed that they can get stops on a high-powered offense like Denver's.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Indy's got a good shot at it. You know, I keep waiting for Tom Brady to get older, and he just keeps getting better. But I think Indy is the one team that could probably beat him.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shame,
no,
but I think if the Broncos would have won tonight, I don't think the Broncos beat the Patriots next week. I think, as sad as it is to say, I think we saw Peyton Manning play his last game today.
Yeah, and the crazy part about it is, and you probably watched a lot of Broncos games where they weren't on just highlights of Broncos this past season. You could just see that Peyton Manning's arm strength is just deteriorating at a fast rate, and you're just seeing his arm strength just deteriorating. He can't get the passes on the money, and you're right. We might have just seen the last game of Peyton Manning, which is sad, but, I mean, at least he went out with a ring. At least he got one ring out of it, so, you know, you can't fail him for that, you know.
Right.
Good. We have about 15 minutes left on the show, and let's talk about our town, your team, your Philadelphia 76ers. Yes, folks, the Philadelphia 76ers are 7-29 on this season, but that's all right. That's all right. This week, they picked up 3 wins this week. That is an accomplishment in itself. Monday, they took out the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yes, without Deion Waiters, who got traded. Yes. Without LeBron James, yes, without Timothy Mozgov, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, you know those guys. But they still beat the likes of Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love. If Tony Roten comes up big time on Monday, then they get blown out by the Bucks, which is okay because it was coming off of a big – I expect that from a young team. They get a big win the one game, and the next game they just totally, you know, get the doors blown off them. That's fine. Their offense was – Sixers' offense was anemic. But then Friday they go up to Brooklyn without Deron Williams. go up to Brooklyn. They played them tough. Michael Carter Williams drives, finds Nerlens Noel under the rim. Noel didn't even know that the ball was coming to him, it seemed like, but he got the slam. Sixers win. Then last night, Michael Carter Williams, they put the ball in his hand. He goes to work challenging Roy Hibbert. They get the win again. And this Sixers team, Angela, is starting to put it together. They're getting better defensively. They're getting better offensively. We're starting to see the maturation process finally start to happen with the team. And I don't know, as fans and people that write, and us as we write about the team, I don't think that we thought this maturation process would happen this fast in this part of the season.
Robert Covington, hallowed be thy name. Because he is one thing the Sixers have been missing, not even for the past 2 years, past 3 years, past 4 years. They needed someone. And going back to when they had center halls and everything, they needed like a bona fide center. They have one of those now. They actually might have two of those now. But one thing they've lacked, they just need a bona fide shooter. And my God, Robert Covington, he has such a 3-point prowess, and it's fabulous. And he is what you've been missing. You need a shooter that can break up opposing runs. That's the problem. In the beginning of the season, they were having so many like periods of time where they just couldn't score. And that's where a lot of their losses come from. And now, even when they're behind, and there have been games when they've been behind by like double figures in like the third quarter, and they've still fought back and only lost by like 6 or 7 or something. Something where it's only like a 2-3 possession game where, you know, they could have gotten it if they just had a couple more minutes. It's not the same Sixers team that started the season. Like, you don't really have, and I know, I've been covering them, and man, when I would have those games where the wheels popped off in the third quarter and it was like they got down by 20, and I'm like, well, I guess this is it. You're not seeing that anymore.
Right.
At least right now in this recent stretch. Like, they're not having these games where they're down by like 20, 25, 30. I mean, yeah, that happened with the Bucks, but that was an especially bad performance. It was like one of their worst performances in the past 2 years, especially from the field. They shot really an abysmal percentage from the field against the Bucks.
Mm-hmm.
But like recently, I mean, they've just been doing well. They've been rebounding more, which is something that plagued them earlier in the season. Like, no one was around for offensive rebounds or anything. They were giving up too many second-chance points. So now they're rebounding again. They have a 3-point shooter, and they're starting to work the fast game break better. And that play last night, when Tony Roten got the steal and bolted down the floor and threw it up against the backboard, and KJ McDaniels just followed up and dunked it, that was straight out the playground, and that was awesome.
this team, you know, they give you, and that's what we like, and that's what we love to see. This team, when they get out and fast break in the open, and I think we knew that this team, when they get out the open, they can do things. But when they get into the half court, when the game slowed down, that's what we were wondering, what would this team do? And so far, they're surprisingly playing much better. And you're right, a lot of have to go to Robert Covington, who the Sixers signed from the Grand Rapids Drive out of the D League. They signed him to a multi-year contract, and you know, he's just been a stud. You know, he's part of teams, the opposing team's game plan now. When you talk about the Sixers, you got to talk about Robert Covington, because he's defending. He's helping the team, especially because we have players like Michael Carter Williams, Tony Roten, who love to drive to the rack, clog up the lane. Now you can't do that because you got a shooter on the outside in Robert Covington, so you gotta like that. Also, one player, and I don't know if you probably would agree with me, this, that has surprisingly been playing well this entire season, is Henry Sims, who they got in the Spencer Hall trade last year. Henry Sims is developing into a nice backup center right now for this team, because I don't think he'll be a starter once Embiid comes back and then whoever they get in the draft. But, you know, he's developed into a nice player. His jump shot has gotten tremendously better. He's knocking down those mid-range jumpers, looking better. MCW is looking better. Tony Roten has been looking better in stretches of games. And you're right, there's been many games, especially on that West Coast trip. And I'm happy you brought that up. And especially in the West Coast trip they just had recently, that they would go on these – They would be down by 15 points, and then they would make a run. They're only down 5 points. Then the lead goes back to 8. Then they get it down to 4. Then it goes, somehow it gets blown back to 15. But that's a learning lesson for this team, and you're starting to see it. You're starting to see them learn how to play together. And I haven't seen and I want your opinion on this, because as I say, you write about the team a lot on BuzzOnBroad.com. What do you think about the play of the guys like KJ, the rookie guys, excluding Noel, because I consider him a rookie, but I don't consider him a rookie at the same time. What do you think about the play of KJ McDaniels, Furkan Aldemir, and Jeremy Grant? Grant's probably played, probably only been playing for the past couple months. What do you think about those three guys' play so far?
I think KJ McDaniels is a definite sixth man of the year. I have said that for the past couple months. I completely believe it. Then, even if he doesn't have the superior ability to get that trophy, he has, like, the will, and he just plays with fire, and I love him. And I will call that now. I say he's a future sixth man of the year. I think the Sixers need to pay him. Jeremy Grant has shown some really tremendous hustle. And I like him, too, as another bench player, and every team needs a night shift.
Mm-hmm.
And who was the third player you said?
Aldemir, the player they got from Turkey, that came over from Turkey.
Oh, yeah. We haven't really seen much from him, right? He's only been in a couple games.
Right. I think they're still trying to fit him in the rotation somewhere, trying to figure out his role.
The Sixers trade Tony Roten, they're fools. I really don't want to see Tony Roten go. He's, like, one of my favorite players on that team because
they can't do that.
He flies into cameraman with the greatest of ease.
Right, and that's the next question I was going to bring up to you with about 8 minutes left on the show. If you guys want to get in talk about the Sixers, you can call in at 714-868-0800. Sam Hinkie, we got to be smart here. Sam Hinkie cannot break up these guys. He just can't do it, right? I mean, he can't do this. This team is gelling. Last season we had like 20 guys on this roster pretty much throughout the season, shifting and moving and trading and sending down to the D-League 10-day contracts, that of the sort. But Sam Hinkie can't break these guys up. That wouldn't be the smart thing to do right now. He just can't do that, right? He can't do that, right? I'm just making sure.
Need hope. I mean, I would love to have faith in him that what he does is always the smart thing, but you'd hope he would do the smart thing and not break the team up. I mean, as much as I read these rumors about Tony Roten being traded, the more uncomfortable I become. I really like him as part of the Sixers, and he provides such a breath of fresh air off the bench, and sometimes he can start. And then there was that speculation of whether or not him and Michael Carter Williams could play on the same court together, and obviously they can.
Right.
I think they complement each other really, really well.
Huh.
So, I mean, here's him, and he's still, a Sixer for the rest of the season and beyond. I mean, I would hate to see him go. I would really be disappointed if they traded him. I would really be disappointed if they traded him. I really don't want to see him go.
Right. And I don't want to see none of these guys go, because that's how you start winning, building a culture and a winning culture. With a team is helping these young guys grow together. You can't win basketball games, and I don't care what anybody says, tanking nonsense, whatever. You throw that out the window. You can't win games. You can't win in sports if you're always changing your roster every 2 months. You can't win games like that. You got to build some kind of cohesion with these guys, and they're doing it. Everybody is starting to slowly figure out a role on this team. And that's what you want to see. You want to see these guys figure out a role on the team. Covington is figuring out his role. Roten figuring out his role. MCW is starting to take over as the leader of this team, figuring out his role. If you can keep a lot of these guys, take them into next season, you get an Embiid and whoever you draft, and you add them to the bunch, then you don't have to do a lot of shift-shaping and moving around to figure out who does what. And I think that will do a lot for the mental health of Brett Brown. Because all that losing is not healthy. He probably enjoys getting the victories because no coach wants to see their guys lose. For the most part, we have about 5 minutes left. And in conjunction to that, how many years away is this team away from competing, Angela? Well, I mean competing, at least getting a playoff spot. How many years away are you?
Two. I'm completely confident with saying two. Because, we've just said – the young guys are playing really well right now. And if we can keep the pieces that are integral to our success that we have at the moment and all the draft picks that Hinkie has accumulated by his trades, and whether or not you can criticize them in the long run, we remain to be seen because we haven't picked these players yet, so we don't know.
Right.
So realistically, I mean, if I would say they'd be competitive in 2 years,
I'll
and I'm actually
that,
pretty
Ali.
Confident about that. I think if they had like one or two more pieces this year, they could realistically make the playoffs this year. They just don't have it right now.
Yeah, I agree with that. They don't have it right now, and it's a great thing that you brought up that this team can be competitive in 2 years, because we see what the San Antonio Spurs have done with their, you know, with their roster through the draft, through coaching of Greg Popovich, and we're seeing another Greg Popovich understudy and Mike Budenholzer and what he's doing in Atlanta. And I know me and you as basketball fans, we're probably just astounded the way Atlanta has been playing so far. Almost like a resemblance of the Sixers and Spurs, there's no really dominant superstar, but these guys can play basketball.
That's what you want. You just want a bunch of kids that want to play.
Yep. And everybody that understands their role on the team and are not playing selfish and plays defense, scores points, plays defense, doing the little things that count, and that's how you end up with teams like the Spurs, that's how you end up with the Hawks, and I think the Sixers are that next team in line that can follow that same trend. Now, Atlanta, they do have the Jeff Teagues and the Al Horfords and Paul Millsaps, not superstars, but they're solid pieces. And then maybe in the Sixers, and the draft, get a couple players, and they can get a solid free agent in the next couple of years. Maybe Jimmy Butler, who a lot of Sixers fans are just going gaga over right now. The possibility of Jimmy Butler in a few years, if the Bulls don't lock him up in a long-term deal. This team, I definitely agree with you, can be competitive because, as I said, I've said to a lot of people before, the Eastern Conference right now is a wild open, wild, wild west. In that this conference, unlike the West, is built for now. The East is built for the future. We're going to see teams probably like Orlando, the Sixers, the Raptors, the Wizards, the Hawks, be in that upper echelon, while teams like the Cavs, the Heat, Brooklyn, New York, all fall to the wayside. Boston's going to rise too. I think you'll agree with me with that when we talk about the Eastern Conference has the better future than the Western Conference. They're built for the future than the West, per se.
Well, yeah. I mean, the West has the older stars, and the East has, like, the rather unknown. I really hope that the Sixers can compete. I mean, I really say 2 years, and I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with 2 years.
No, I agree with you. I think they can be competitive in 2 years. I mean, if competitive, you know, they get a six, seven, eight playoff spot, they give some team a run for their money in the first round. That'd be fine for me because it's all about getting into the playoffs, making that next step, going further. Just like the Eagles last year, they got to the playoffs, they got to the wild card round, lost this season. We wanted them to get to the divisional round and win. So next season, it's about getting the playoffs, winning the playoff game, then going forward from there. But that's going to wrap up the show here today on tonight. Excuse me, on the Total Sports Live podcast. I'd like to thank everybody for tuning in. Again, we had a good show today. We talked about Dez Bryant. We talked about the Dallas Cowboys.
Dez Bryant, yes.
We talked about the Philadelphia 76ers and their recent winning streak. And they keep on pulling off these winning streaks like that. I think the podcast is going to be pretty happy going forward talking about the Sixers and them bringing
yeah,
us joy
man,
to watch.
Yeah, man, I don't like to watch them lose.
Some do. But those are the haters. We don't recognize the haters.
Yeah, haterade.
The illogical basketball fans want them to lose. But we'll save that story for a whole another podcast.
Yeah, we'll save the draft lottery proclivities for another day.
All right, when we get to that part. But everybody, thanks again for tuning in. Next week, what are we going to be talking about next week? Most likely,
Super Bowl matchup.
Yes, big matchups in the NFL playoffs, and we're going probably going to talk about the Sixers as well. But everybody, thanks again for tuning in. Make sure you check out BuzzOnBroad.com and TotalSportsLive.com. Have a good night, everybody, and we are out.
Bye, everyone.